This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Ducks Nor Baseball podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And what an exciting show this is, because this is our first show in partnership with OffTheBenchBaseball.com, which is an awesome baseball analysis site that y'all should check out if you're listening to this right now. I'll wait. Okay, now that you're back and you've seen all the great stuff OffTheBenchBaseball.com has, we could tell you about our guest.
They could have just paused the podcast. You didn't need to give them a break.
No. I had to give them that like 3 seconds to do it.
To type it in.
Yeah. Because I'm generous. Yeah. That's what it is.
The rest of the podcast is just going to be us reading articles off the website so you can follow along. We'll tell you which ones to click.
You mean rest of the podcast as in like the next 6 months?
Yeah, it's just going to be us reading articles. So way different format.
Yeah, very different. No, we're very excited to be partnering with Off the Bench to bring you audio content, I guess, through their platform, talking about their writing, their analysis of baseball, and we'll also be having their writers on as guests, including this episode. We have co-founder Sean Morash on the show to make season predictions. We do all the standard dumb prediction stuff that'll make us all look like idiots in 6 months.
Yeah,
we pick division winners. We pick award winners. He's great. Those guys are great. So this is an exciting time in the world of Ducksnort. So yeah, go check them out. Also, we do want to give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio, who is co-hosting, I guess, co-producing. I'm going to have to figure out a new way to say all of this information that I have to get out up top. But support Boardwalk. Visit boardwalkaudio.com/ducksnort. Click the support our artist link. Shop on Amazon like you normally would from that link, and we will get a small percentage of that. So we have two great co-producers, I guess, is the way that I will say it this time. We'll see if that holds up.
Pretty good.
Waylon, how excited are you about this off-the-bench news?
Very excited. I thought you were going to ask about the season coming up, but this
No, I don't give a shit.
This is equally as exciting. It's a really cool site. The guy we've had, we had a phone conversation with all three of the guys, and I think it's going to be cool. It seems like we're on the same page about how we approach baseball and what we like about it. Sean's going to tell us a little bit of the story of how it started later, which I also think is cool. I'm excited about it. It's cool to be affiliated with a cool site. I don't know. I keep saying cool, but
it is cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And I think it'll be fun to have some more voices and some things we could bounce off of as part of this.
Yeah.
And now we're across the country because they're from like all over the country.
Yeah. Not just West Coast anymore.
I think our West Coast bias will go
on. West Coast media bias. I think one thing that is definitely true is they are much better baseball players than us because they met on a Division II team in college. The sort of average baseball talent amongst podcast staff, I guess you would say, has gone up considerably, considering you and me are... And I guess Joe's probably better than us, but he also hasn't been here the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, where is Joe? Eating Pizza Hut. I played yesterday for the first time in a while.
How'd you do?
0 for 1 with a walk and a run scored.
Okay. It's a very three true outcomes type line.
I did strike out.
Yeah.
0 for 1 with a strikeout, a walk, and a run scored. So
an Adam Dunn type line?
Yeah, I'm Adam Dunn is what I'm trying to say. I'm as good as Adam Dunn.
Sure.
But how excited are you for the baseball season starting in 2 days?
Yeah, very excited. Real baseball.
Real baseball.
Meaningful baseball.
It's going to count. I was talking to some of this about the other day. I'm very excited for the baseball season to start. I'm always very excited. But there is always this great excitement that happens, and then like April 15th or 18th happens, and you're like, oh yeah, like the first 2 months are very fun, but it feels like it takes 2 months to get the ball super rolling. You know what I mean?
Good pun.
Oh, yeah. if it was bowling, it would have been like an all-star.
Yeah, yeah. Then, then it would have been a real strike.
That's also a baseball
term. Pun, but the reverse. Yeah. Yeah, for me, the most frustrating thing about the first couple weeks of the season is I love stats so much that, like, stats are pretty meaningless until you get, like, 6 weeks into the season, maybe. So, like, I'm especially watching a rebuilding team like the White Sox. It's like the wins and losses definitely don't matter. The individual player performances matter a lot, but I can't really get any kind of handle on how meaningful those performances are going forward until, you know, several weeks into the season.
And it kind of taints it because, like, remember last year with Eric Thames, how good he was for the first, was it 2 months probably that he was killing it?
It was the first, probably, like 6 weeks, two months.
So any players like that or any prospects that do well, there's always kind of this taint of, like, well, let's see how it looks in August.
Yeah.
It's cool to watch, but yeah, there's always, because with him, I was like, I can't buy into this until after the break. There's just no way, which of course turned out to be true. And there are always two or three players, if not more than like that. So you're right, it is tough. But then the great players, though, like if Aaron Judge comes out with a great start, or anybody, Joey Votto, Chris Bryant, they come out with a great start, then I think you can be like, oh, could this be the season? You know?
Yeah, could this be all-timer season?
Or even like Abreu with you. That's probably your one player where you can feel like he could have like an MVP caliber season, you think?
Yeah, it'd be tough for him to have an MVP caliber season.
Well, he's not
going to
win because the White Sox will be bad. But
also just because he's a first baseman and sort of, you know, he'd have to hit 50 homers probably, which is not really on the spectrum of likelihood. But, I mean, they're even for a team like the White Sox, and not to get too deeply into, like, will Yoelmer Sanchez be a three-win third baseman? Because nobody cares except for me. But, you know, there is a lot of stuff to watch. Like, there's a lot of, I guess the cool thing about having a team that is not competing but is sort of about to be on the upswing is there's a lot of question marks. But, like, positive question marks where it's like, you know, if one or two of these guys hit, that's one or two more guys than we were counting on. And so now we can add those to sort of the list of, like, guys to count on next year when maybe they might be competitive, you know? So that's what I'm really excited about, in addition to sort of the league-wide cool stuff, I guess, that we're going
to
see.
I mean, I think that the first 2 months are, I mean, you get to see the cool plays. The players like Eric Thames, it's still great to watch someone play like that.
Yeah.
You know, you know, maybe we'll see a perfect game. I'm predicting a perfect game in April right now. I'm doing it.
Wow. Bold
perfect
prediction.
Perfect game in April.
I want you to call what day?
On April 23rd.
Okay.
We're gonna see a perfect game.
You heard it here first, folks. April 23rd. Stick by your phones. Look for those MLB app updates.
We're gonna have a perfect game.
Yeah. Well, we shouldn't delay too long from getting into our actual predictions, because we did have a nice long chat with Sean. But we do want to continue, if you maybe are just joining us for the first time through Off the Bench, or because you're excited about the baseball season, we've been coming up with slogans for all of the teams throughout baseball. So the last 2 weeks, we've done the AL East and the AL Central. Now we're going to do the AL West with our personal slogans for how we would describe the upcoming season for each franchise. So with that, Waylon, what is your slogan for the Houston Astros? It's
just very simply, fuck you, American League.
You just think they're going to blitz through everybody?
Yeah, I think they're going to be the best team in the American League.
And throwing double middle fingers up as they go?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. They're the champs. They get to, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I very much think if you're the champ and you're still good, you get to say fuck you to someone's gonna knock you off the throne, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's where they are.
They've gone from underdog to arrogant very quickly in your head.
Yeah.
My slogan for them is Yankees South.
That's pretty good. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Oh, that's good. Except for Jose Altuve. Everything's bigger in Texas except for our second baseman. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a collaboration for that slogan.
Yeah.
I think that's the winner.
Definitely collab.
How about the LA Angels?
Los Angeles Angels, just not just Mike Trout anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
Accurate.
Yeah.
And mine's just imagine if we didn't have Pujols. What a dream world that would be. That poor guy making $35 million a year.
Evan and I, you know, podcast friend Evan.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah, Evan, we're having a conversation about how Trout might be the best player ever and how it's awesome that we get to see him, and I never really thought that we'd see that. Did you think Pujols was in that conversation when he was a Cardinal, or were you did you think he was like a step below Ruth, Mays, Bonds, whoever else you think might be the best or a best offensive player?
You know, it's tough just because I think, kind of like we were just talking about with Abreu, it's tough to put a first baseman into that conversation. And Pujols wasn't always a first baseman, obviously, but just compared to, obviously, I've never saw Willie Mays besides just on video.
Oh, boy, you missed.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that you're 78 years old.
Yeah.
But just if you're talking about best overall player ever, you're going to want to pick a center fielder or a shortstop, probably, or maybe a catcher, just in terms of like what they bring to a team all around. You're talking about best offensive player ever, I think Pujols is a lot closer to the conversation, but I would still probably put him like maybe top 10, top 15, just based on how completely he's collapsed, you know?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. You just eliminated Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, and Lou Gehrig for the best player ever conversation.
Well, I think
Barry Bonds.
I think Ruth is in a separate category. Okay. As like the pitcher hitter. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe Barry Bonds. He started as a center fielder though early in his career. I'm getting like too like sabermetric-y, analytic-y with it.
I mean, I see what you're saying, but
you want somebody who brings like some kind of defensive something to the table.
I totally agree with you. It's so hard to evaluate players before like basically 15 years ago, because you can go back and put sabermetric numbers on Willie Mays, but no one was at the, like, his legend is bigger than that.
Right.
Or Ted Williams, yeah, or Lou Gehrig.
For all we know, like those sort of metrics would have been like Willie Mays is the most overrated center fielder in the game.
So it's hard to say like we didn't see these players, but Ted Williams seems to maybe be the best just pure hitter, but his defense was shit and he couldn't run the bases.
Right.
That's interesting. I know we're in the middle of something, so we can talk about this later, but you brought up an interesting point, Mr. Diggs.
I'm an interesting guy. What's your Oakland Athletics slogan?
My slogan I had was, hey guys, we're still a team. because I don't know.
Yeah. That's what are you going to pay attention to?
Yeah.
Mine was Miguel Tejada's back, and then in parentheses, he's not, but I bet you believed it for a second.
I did.
Like, you would believe that Miguel Tejada is somehow playing like third base twice a week for the Athletics, right?
I was like, when you said that, I was like, I don't really know how old Miguel Tejada is. Like,
exactly. That's like, what I'm saying.
He could have won an MVP at 24 and be like 36 now.
Right. Yes. The combination of knowing almost nothing about the Athletics and like vaguely thinking Miguel Tejada could be playing.
That's really
that's
good.
My slogan.
I was trying
that's
to think
what would sell them tickets, is if they had Miguel Tejada's back in big font and then like, well, he's not, but
that,
come
like,
see us.
You think Miguel Tejada's the big draw, the big draw of the Oakland A's?
A big draw?
Yeah.
He won the friggin' MVP for them, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely did.
Right.
But so did Giambi.
Yeah, but Giambi, you wouldn't believe that he's still playing. Miguel Tejada, that's the key.
That's pretty good. What if it was Jose Canseco's back? Would you believe that they signed him to like a one-year deal?
I would watch Jose Canseco play Major League Baseball right now.
That's what
I wouldn't believe that they signed him, but I would be happy to watch him flail in
this is what they should
right
be like
or whatever.
The A's when O'Finley was the manager, they should be gimmicky A's again.
Yeah, that would be an identity.
Sign Canseco.
That's the new Moneyball.
Yeah, sign Canseco, bring Zito, Hudson, Mulder all back, and just have like all just basically be the A's old timer team.
Yeah, they'd be more interesting.
Oakland, you should listen to us. That's $1 million idea.
How about Seattle?
You're already talking yourselves into us, aren't you?
Oh, see, mine's kind of the polar opposite, which is you'll take your 80 wins and you'll like it.
I guess I'll do a small spoiler. No one takes the Mariners for any predictions with Sean.
Yeah, I don't even think they came up in
our
talk.
No, not at all.
Sean.
Which I feel like three people showed great restraint in finally acknowledging that the Mariners
are
not going to be part of this conversation.
Yeah, but that just means this will be the year that they're part of the conversation, and
yeah.
We'll feel
I
stupid.
Hope so. I'm eternally rooting for the Mariners.
Love me some Robbie Cano. Love me some Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, I think
it'd be nice.
I would love if they were good.
And finally, the Texas Rangers.
In all caps, very important. Adrian Beltre and Elvis Andrus are best friends.
I didn't know that. That makes me want to watch them more.
Go on YouTube and look up. Andrus fucks with Adrian Beltre constantly.
Yeah, I guess I've seen him like rubbing Beltre's head, which is probably the greatest characteristic of any future Hall of Famer ever, is that Adrian Beltre hates to have his head touched.
Yeah, it's very funny. And then they fuck with each other on the field because they're right next to each other, and it's going to even get worse, you know, starting in June when they're not in it anymore. And by worse, I mean better. I mean, it's going to be
more fun
because neither one of them will care about the winning versus the having fun.
My Astros prediction was Yankees South, or slogan was Yankees South. My Rangers slogan is Orioles South.
That's good.
Cause it's hard to figure out what the Rangers are doing in a similar way that it's hard to figure out what the Orioles are doing. Like, are they competing? They're sort of just like, they're like undead teams, like 3 years. Well, the Orioles got Cobb.
Yeah.
But they're sort of like zombies, like trying to like stagger into the playoffs based with this team that was good 3 years ago.
They feel like feels like old, like, because now it seems like either you're trying to win or you're trying to build a team that will win.
Right.
And this feels like the old school 90s, like where a bunch of teams were like half in. Even the Royals used to be like that when they were bad, but they were signing like Juan Gonzalez 2 years after he was good, or like Jason Kendall,
Jose Guillen.
Yeah, where you're like, oh, like they're trying, and it like it's not quite as bad because each of those teams have things you could look to that are positive, obviously. But it definitely feels like this weird. What are they doing? Just like you said.
Yeah, both of those teams could make the playoffs. They just would need a lot to go right.
Probably
like
throw the Padres in that. Although
I don't think the Padres. Well, we can get to our Padres slogan in like 3 weeks, whenever.
Well,
but,
right. But I meant like they're not quite a zombie team, but it's kind of like I don't know what you're doing. Like,
well, they have the best farm system or the second best farm system in baseball, so they're in a little bit different boat.
Yeah.
I guess like I don't know. I guess the Giants would be maybe the closest thing in the National League. At least they aggressively added this offseason.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, they're just trying to make one last even-year magic run, although Bumgarner just got hurt and is going to miss 3 months or whatever. But, yeah, I guess that would be the team that maybe the Reds. The Reds have a better farm system than either of those teams.
Yeah.
Either.
The Reds aren't, like, actively tanking, but they're definitely not trying to win. Like,
I don't know. I actually think they could surprise a little bit. We didn't really talk about that in the season predictions. Yeah. I don't think they'll be competitive necessarily for a playoff spot, but like, you know, maybe they finish close to 500 and surprise people.
Who do you think are going to be the worst teams in each league?
Tigers.
Yeah.
Marlins.
Oh, well, yeah. Duh. Marlins is the easiest one. It's going to, I agree with you.
Tigers are going to be pretty
brutal.
I think
it's going to be between the Tigers and the A's probably.
Yeah.
You think?
I mean, A's have a couple of decent young players. Yeah. Matt Chapman, Matt Olson. You know, maybe they trade Chris Davis and Jonathan Lucroy, some of their like older guys, but they've got at least some young guys to look to. The Tigers really don't have much to hope for, besides Fulmer and a bounce back season from Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, you're right.
I know, right? I'm always right.
You're always
That's
right.
What new listeners of this podcast will have to learn is that I'm always
you're
right.
You're always right, and I am never right.
Yeah,
because I live in a fantasy world of baseball. Things
which,
I want to have happen.
Yeah.
I predict which, will happen.
Yeah, what a great setup for our predictions with Sean. So stick around. We'll be right back with the co-founder of Off the Bench Baseball, Sean Morage. I don't feel better, babe.
get all of it out on the table.
All right, welcome back to Duck Snort. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we are very excited to be launching a new partnership with OffTheBenchBaseball.com. They have some really great baseball coverage. We love what they're doing, and we are very happy to have one of the co-founders of Off the Bench here with us today to make our official playoff awards picks, all that good stuff. Sean Morash. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks. Happy to be here. Happy to kick off the partnership in earnest.
Yeah, in earnest in style. So you guys are all down in Florida right now catching the end of spring training, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of scheduled it, if we were being honest, about a year ago. And then Major League Baseball put out their opening days a little bit earlier this year than it normally is. So we're catching the very end of spring training. And we actually spent the morning at Pirate City catching some of the backfield action of the Pirates minor leaguers and collected about 10 home run balls. So I'm happy to announce that the Pirates minor leaguers can hit home runs in batting practice. But other than that, we were dealing with a three-day-old roster, and they don't wear the names on the back of their jersey, so it was kind of tough to get any real scouting notes then. It was kind of fun.
Well, yeah, it sounds fascinating. Are you a Pirates fan, or is that just sort of where you guys ended up?
It's pretty much just where we ended up. My family is actually from Bradenton, and so it's kind of the free place to stay. And Pirates games are just as good as any others, really.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I grew up in Arizona, so I have very fond memories of spring training and being on the backfield, sort of getting player autographs and photos and stuff like that. So it's cool that you guys were able to squeeze it in before the season starts.
No, so it's actually kind of tricky, right? Because we're here in the Grapefruit League, and the places are further apart than they are out in Arizona. And so it was, the end of spring training schedule made it difficult to catch many spring training games in a reasonable drive. So we were a little jealous of the Phoenix situation.
Yeah, well, now in Arizona, they're all within an hour's drive of each other. I grew up in Tucson, so we had the Rockies, White Sox, and Diamondbacks in sort of a similar configuration. But then I think all those players got tired of making the bus ride to Phoenix. There's no teams for kids like me anymore. But what are you going to do?
So we had to. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, just before we get into actual predictions, I was just wondering if you could give the audience a sort of rundown of Off the Bench and what you guys do and what the goals are and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so Off the Bench got started when Max and I were in college. We were baseball players at Division III Vassar College, and got started really truthfully because somebody told us we couldn't do it, and that was about 7 years ago. And so we've carved out a niche for ourselves. It's kind of like an alt Fangraphs type of thing where we get into stuff that people really aren't talking about too much. So we try to, if we have people that want to come in and write for us, we're more than happy to have them. But we try to make sure that the content stays high quality and that it's not something that can be found elsewhere. So it's not, we're not breaking any news. We're not really trying to do any sort of analysis on every trade. But if we have maybe a unique take on something, we'll make sure that it's well thought out and publish it to the blogosphere.
Yeah, I would really encourage, I'll probably say it, six more times in this podcast that every week for a while, but I would really encourage people to go check it out because I think that's a very accurate description of sort of, it's deep dives, but it's deep dives that you won't see anywhere else. Just off the top of my head, I really love the utility player rankings that were up in the last week or so. Just insights into little corners of the game that maybe other places aren't talking about. And those kind of angles are pretty hard to find, I'd say, because there is so much coverage. So if you're looking for unique coverage, check out what Sean and the rest of the guys are doing. And of course, Ducksnort now.
yeah, absolutely. No, and we try to piggyback on any good ideas that we have, right? So, and the annoying part about having good ideas is that other people tend to steal them. So, you know, we've had a couple of those things where, like Max went and tried out for the racing presidents of the nationals facility, and then this year, you know, we see some national guys are out there at the same event, trying on the president's outfits and getting into that oddly specific subculture.
Huh, that's fascinating.
That's really cool. Sean, you're from Washington, right?
No, I'm from Tennessee originally.
Oh, you're from Tennessee.
Spent some time in D.C. and Max is there now.
Oh, okay.
We've got a little bit of a we've got a little bit of a D.C. flavor to us.
So, what's your team? Or have you, since you're now have a baseball blog, have you started to become objective?
Well, yes, a little bit objective, but also I'm a Braves fan, and it's been a rough 5 years for us. So, I'm still a Braves fan, absolutely, but I am not a Braves fan in the sense that I was, you know, in high school. I haven't been to the new SunTrust or anything like that.
Well, I think things are on the up and up for the Braves, and that's a perfect segue into our season predictions, because I do have, as a teaser, I do have the Braves somewhere in there as one of my predictions. So let's get into it. Sean, as the guest, will give you the honors of, let's start with the AL East, and you get sort of you get to crack the champagne bottle over this, these predictions. What do you got?
So I've got the Yankees over the Red Sox in a close game, in a close race all year.
I also have a very similar prediction. I think the Yankees, you know, it's hard to argue with what they've done this offseason that they haven't taken a step ahead of the Red Sox. How about you, Waylon?
Yeah, the Yankees, although I don't think it's going to be that close. I think they're going to win the division by at least double digits.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you say that? Or are we going to get your Red Sox thoughts later in these predictions?
I don't know. Yeah, I just I think the Yankees are going to – I think partly it's going to be that the Yankees could win like 100 games. So then, you know, the Red Sox could still have a good season and lose by 10 games. And I just don't – J.D. Martinez is good, so that's a good signing. Something about the Red Sox is rubbing me the wrong way.
They're just kind of there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they were – a few games better than the Yankees this season. I think projections have them about even. So.
Here's what I think: Sale is going to pitch fewer than 150 innings.
Ooh. So people have been predicting that a long time.
Yeah, but I'm right.
How about the AL Central? Who do you have, Sean?
AL Central. I think it's hard to argue with the Indians and the pitching staff they still have together. Maybe their offense is a little weaker than it was without Carlos Santana and all the good things he did, but it's tough to argue with those guys.
Yeah, well, especially I guess just based on the rest of the division, you know, unless you feel real good about the Twins, the Indians seem pretty far ahead. I agree with that.
Yeah, I think I'm picking the Indians because of the rest of the division.
How about AL West, Sean?
I mean, it's got to be Houston. They've got the best lineup and pretty much the best pitching staff. So they're, in my mind, en route to a pretty historic season.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Well, that's a tease for the World Series pick, I guess. I think we're probably all in agreement on these division winners. It's hard to pick against the Astros. Also, I have them running away with the division. And Waylon, you mentioned you just saw the Sports Illustrated predictions and were like, shit, they're all the same as mine. So I'm assuming you have the Astros
as
well.
Yes, the Astros.
How about wild cards, Sean?
So we're still in the AL. So we got to go with the Red Sox. And then to me, it comes down to if you're a Twins fan or an Angels fan. And I'm an Angels fan. So with what they've done this year, even if Ohtani doesn't quite put it together, I think a full year of Justin Upton, look at Ian Kinsler, Garrett Richards is going to be healthy. You know, their pitching staff, they had so many guys last year who weren't healthy. Now they've, basically, if you roll the dice again, even if some of them get hurt, there's no way they have as much bad luck.
Yeah, I've been beating the drum for the Angels and their offseason for the last however many episodes we've had this offseason. I think they had a great, great offseason in terms of just the guys that they've added over the black holes that were there. So I think the Angels will take the second wild card as well. The Red Sox will take the first one. The other team that you didn't mention that I could see keeping things tight is the Blue Jays. Who I think, you know, they still have Donaldson. They have some surprising depth. Marcus Stroman, I think, could take a big step forward. So I could see them being right there for most of the season, but I think the Angels are a cut above. Disagree? Agree, Waylon?
I'm going with the Angels as well. But to continue my theme of not believing in the Red Sox, I'm going to take the Kansas City Royals in
wow.
the second wild card.
What a homer
pick. You got
pick.
Lucas Duda. You got John Jay. You got Alcides Escobar coming back. So that's my pick. I'm taking the Royals are going to surprise everyone, win 92. Red Sox will win 91. And the Royals will be back in the wild card.
Sean, any feelings on that insane pick?
Yeah, it's insane. But I love the precision with which he made the prediction, right? The 92 win for the Royals is, you know, if you're going to make a prediction, you might as well make an oddly specific one.
Yeah. It increases the chances of looking like Nostradamus, but also increases the chances of looking like a total asshole.
Yeah, it's a complete homer pick, and I didn't want to take the Red Sox. And I don't think the Royals are going to be as terrible as it looked like they were going to be like 3 months ago.
Sure, but that still means they could just win 73 games. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the National League. Sean, who do you have? Why don't we just run through all three division winners, because I think we might be in agreement again.
Yeah, that's a little bit of what's a little frustrating about this in 2018 is you've got the haves and the have-nots in a way that we haven't had in quite a while. To me, it's the Nats. You've got in the West the Dodgers, and then the Central is the Cubs. And so it's, you know, these are the same guys, same players that we've had for the last 2 or 3 years who are just running it back, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. Sean, when do you see this changing? Do you think next year is the year when sort of the second tier teams ascend and the Nationals are a little bit worse, or do you think this is what we're in for the next 2 years, 3 years?
No, that's a good question. I think the Nats could be a drastically different team next year. If you look at, you know, maybe if Scherzer or Strasburg take a step back, or maybe their health starts to really rear their heads, and then if Harper's not there, obviously, it's a totally different team. And then with the Cubs, you know, we've already seen some turnover in their rotation, and I think that they're going to have a tricky time. They might be pigeonholing themselves a little bit with a weirdly expensive rotation next year. It could look very different. Max wrote a post about how the Cubs could be in dire straits starting 2019.
All right, go check that out, offthebenchbaseball.com. I'm kind of in agreement with that, actually. I think the Nationals, even if Harper leaves, they've got Robles in the farm system. They've got a pretty solid farm still. I think the Cubs, you know, they're not that young anymore. They've got a bottom-ranked farm system. All it takes is one or two injuries to Bryant or Rizzo, and I could see them taking kind of a step back either next season or by 2020. Waylon, any thoughts?
I hope Schwarber has a great first half, because I think they need. I would want them this season to trade Schwarber or Russell, which I know seems crazy, but to build up the system, because they're superfluous right now. both of them to me. So I think there's a path to try to start to build better instead of like rest on your laurels or use money.
Well, yeah. You're going to trade future Babe Ruth, huh?
Yeah, no, I don't think so anymore.
Sean, who do you have for the wild cards in the National League?
Wild card picks. Let me double check. I had a thought there on trading Kyle Schwarber, and that the time to do it was last year before he wasn't great. Before he took
right, yeah, before but, he completely tanked his value.
That was the highest trade value he had for sure.
Yeah.
So I guess my two picks are the Diamondbacks and Rockies. I think you're looking at two 88-win, 89-win teams in the West, and I think that's going to be good enough to do it. It's a little frustrating that the East and the Central don't have the same type of second-level competition, but those teams have really improved this year, and I'm excited to watch them play.
Yeah, I'm going to obviously both of those teams were great last year, but this is the first time I'm going to disagree with you. I think the Rockies maybe take a little step back just because they had a lot of guys who sort of were not quite proven, who were playing really, really well, or were proven, but were still playing better than the level that they suggested. So I don't know. I think the Diamondbacks probably are the wild card favorite, but I'm going to go with the Brewers for the second wild card. I think they made a lot of great moves this offseason. It's going to be tough to get over the Cardinals and the Rockies, and now maybe the Phillies too on the outside, but I really like what the Brewers did this offseason. Waylon?
So you're doing Brewers and Diamondbacks?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to do Brewers and Cardinals, as much as I hate to pick the Cardinals. Yeah, I think the Cardinals got better. They're the Cardinals. I think like there is going to be, it's one of those things sometimes when divisions are so good that the Brewers, Cardinals, and Cubs, they'll have that motivation to win the division. So that's going to push them a little bit. That sounds silly, but, it seems to happen that way a lot. I think it happened last with like the Rockies and Diamondbacks. I think the Diamondbacks are going to be good, but I'm going to take Brewers and Cardinals.
Okay. Thoughts on that, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, mostly I'm worried about the Brewers' pitching staff. You had a lot of young guys who pitched well last year who maybe were not that most highly touted prospect. They lost Jimmy Nelson towards the end of the year, and it doesn't look like he'll be back until at least midseason. And even from that, it's an arm injury. So it makes me nervous. So I like the moves they've done, but I'm not sure that Yelich is the where the need was, right? Their outfield was already pretty good. You've got Ryan Braun's going to start at first base. Basically, they've improved, but I'm not sure they've improved in the right places.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're not wrong. I could see them flipping one of those outfielders mid-season for pitching. I do think they need more pitching, but they have a lot of young arms to go through. It's like they kind of need lightning to strike a little bit, but they have a lot of lightning bolts to try to get to strike.
A little bit like the Diamondbacks last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
No, I just think it's fascinating that they haven't made those moves yet. For some reason, you know, we tend to think that these things are easy, right? They're like, I got an extra outfielder, who wants it? And somebody just offers up their young starting pitcher. We've seen that isn't really the case, right? The Rays had to effectively release Corey Dickerson after a pretty good year last year. So yes, it makes sense that they're going to be able to flip some stuff, but I'm not sure that you have to get another GM to dance, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, but mid-season is the time to do that, right? Like in the off-season, maybe some of those teams like the Rays with Archer, they think, oh, we can still make a run at this, but if things don't turn out great, that would be the time guys are available. That's what Rick Hahn did with Jose Quintana last season. So I don't know. I think there will be moves to be made, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Trades always happen.
So, Sean, who is your World Series pick?
So I've got the Astros over the Nats.
Okay. So the Astros' historic season, what were you sort of implying with that pick?
Yeah, I guess really all I was saying is I think that they're going to have a chance for, you know, over 100 wins. And I'm not maybe, you know, into the 110 win territory, even though they're in the AL and you know, there's a couple of pretty good teams in the AL, but I just like them. I like everything they've done. I think they're deep and ready to run through the American League.
I have them in the World Series. I have a rematch of last year's World Series, but I have the Dodgers winning. I think they're pretty much equal teams in my eyes, both a step above anybody else in their league. But I think when it comes to the World Series, it's a roll of the dice. But, you know, I think the Astros honestly got a little bit lucky with Jansen pitching pretty poorly in the World Series. And I wouldn't count on that happening again. So I think the Dodgers maybe, you know, that's my pick, I guess.
I was trying to think of when the last time we've had repeat World Series teams. I think it's been in the 70s. I think it was Dodgers-Yankees in 77-78.
You would know better than
that. Yeah,
me.
That would be crazy. I picked the Nationals to win the World Series over the Yankees. I think the Yankees are going to get there because they're the Yankees and they're better. It's hard to pick against the Astros. I mostly just did it because I don't want to pick the Astros again. I don't want a repeat team. But then I picked the Nationals to win, which is also a Sports Illustrated pick, but I promise I thought of it before they did.
So you think the Nationals can get over this sort of postseason bad luck they've been having?
Yeah, I think so. I think I have the hardest time picking the Cubs. Dodgers is part of the repeat thing, but I think the Dodgers can implode. And so, I don't know. I just want the Nationals to make it.
Sure, yeah. It seems like it's been a long time coming for them. What do you think of that, Sean?
I like it. I like all of Waylon's logic. I hate picking the same guy over again. I think we see some of that in the NBA, right? Like LeBron hasn't won the MVP a couple times because voters just didn't want to vote for him. And I'm all for that logic, you know. As a fan,
especially since you know everyone's picking the same division winners. It's the same like this is grabbing on to any variety we could grab onto.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I guess the counter argument to it's so boring that all these teams are going to win the division again is there's a lot of really good teams. Like I could see any of the division winners that we've picked, plus the Red Sox, any of them winning the World Series. So. Once the playoffs happen, it'll probably be a very exciting and a kind of a crapshoot. So that's a silver lining of maybe a little bit of a boring regular season. So with that LeBron talk, let's segue into MVP talk. Who are your MVP picks, Sean?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit. It was that, you know, the kind of boring MVP picks. And then maybe we'll toss out some hipster MVP picks. But in the American League, it's pretty easy. It's Trout. You know, he's unbelievable kind of every year. And you look at what he's done this spring, and he appears like he might be getting even better. And then in the National League, I've got his National League counterpart in a free agent year. I got Bryce Harper doing his thing for the Nationals.
Yep, those are both really good picks.
It's hard to argue against Harper playing for as big of a contract as possible.
Yeah, I could easily see him busting out sort of another 9-win season. Yeah. That said, I picked Corey Seager in the National League.
Whoa.
Because the dude's 23. He's been a 6-win player twice. Like, he's got room to grow, and I could see this being the year, especially if the Dodgers end up winning 110, 112 games.
I'm going with Goldschmidt.
So Waylon's got Goldschmidt. You like that pick, Sean?
Yeah, I like the Seager pick. He's down in, if you look at the fantasy rankings and the projections, they're all kind of down on it for no real apparent reason in my mind.
Yeah, I think last year people viewed it as a sort of disappointing year in which he was worth six wins. Like, it's crazy. So, Waylon, expand on that Goldschmidt pick for a second.
I mean, I kind of... I wouldn't have been upset if he was MVP last year. Like, I think that he had a good... I think he's consistently good. And if the Diamondbacks win the wild card, he's going to be their best player unless he's hurt. So, I just think that it's going to be one of those things where unless Harper super goes off, which he probably will, that it's going to be like Goldschmidt to me is the second best player in the National League. Or it's probably Joey Votto, but there's no way he's going to win on a 60-win red team. So I think Goldschmidt, and I wanted to pick Rizzo O'Brien again, but I can't.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be sort of a similar scenario to what happened this year with Stanton winning, is like maybe Harper's hurt. Goldschmidt has a great year that sort of could be an MVP year or could be not, but that's sort of the consensus builds around him.
Yeah, and I just like Paul. I like Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, he's great. Who are your Cy Young picks, Sean?
Yeah, so I'm actually, I'm really tempted to just make the pick. You know, we're talking about hipster picks, but it's Robbie Ray in the National League. I think he had a really good year last year and is going to get better. And he's also going to benefit from the humidor there in Arizona. That, you know, he's a fly ball pitcher, and the humidor effect, if you go deep into the rabbit hole with some of the different research that's been going on around the humidor effect, it's supposed to limit the distance of some of the fly balls. And I think that'll have the net effect of hurting Paul Goldschmidt and helping Robbie Ray. All right. Any reactions to that?
I think that's a great pick.
That's a really good pick.
I almost picked Robbie Ray. I ended up picking Clayton Kershaw, but I shit you not, I was on Baseball Reference being like, man, his K rate was really good. Like, if he improves that walk rate a little bit. I didn't even think of the humidor, so I think Ray's a great pick. So I love it. Two thumbs up.
Yeah, and I wasn't thinking about the humidor when I picked Goldschmidt. I think that's a really good point, too. His numbers might take a little hit. Now you got me rethinking everything, Sean.
Yeah, well, I think Paul Goldschmidt is, you know, he's the upper echelon such that humidor doesn't really affect him. You know, he's kind of immune to it because he's so good. Yeah, so my American League pick is more boring. I'm going Corey Kluber. I think you just look at how he's been able to improve kind of every year and be consistent on that Indians team that's going to be good and rely on so much pitching. So he'll get the narrative and the numbers. So I'm pretty confident and comfortable with him heading into the 2018 season.
Yeah, kind of hard to argue with. He's just so consistently good. I guess the one nit I would pick, and the reason that I'm not picking him, is because I think it's finally Chris Sale's year. It seemed like it was last year. He sort of slowed down again in September. But, you know, that guy is, I think he, more than anybody, is sort of motivated by this recognition that he hasn't gotten yet. He's kind of, when he was on the White Sox, we White Sox fans just called him a red ass because he would just get so pissed off about stuff. And he wouldn't always channel that anger necessarily productively, but I think this year he will. I think it'll be his year. Waylon?
For variety's sake, I know we just mentioned that he could easily be traded out of the league, but I am going to go with Chris Archer as the Cy Young. And they'll give Cy Young awards much easier to bad teams, players on bad teams.
Than MVP?
Than MVP. I think he is going to have a great year. Maybe, you know, one of those he doesn't give a shit years because his team's not going to be. I don't think the Rays are going to be playoff good. So I think it's going to be, if Archer can stay in the AL, he could win Cy Young.
Yeah, I actually think if he gets traded, the odds go up a little bit that he wins the Cy Young if he's in the AL.
If he stays in the AL, yeah.
If he has one of those CC Sabathia post-trade deadline seasons carrying, say, the Angels or something.
Yeah. And National League, I'm going to make my big homer pick of all of these and say it's going to be Jose Quintana.
I would love that. Yeah. I love Quintana. One of my favorite players in the league. Sean, it sounded like you were trying to jump in there.
No, I liked the Chris Archer pick. The Rays are doing this weird four-man rotation thing, and it might give Archer, you know, more starts than we've seen any sort of modern pitcher get. It seems like they're going to not really try to shoot him, to have him start on 4 days rest, but or 3 days rest, but it might happen more often than normal. So he'll get more innings. You know, he'll be doing this weird crazy thing, and if he can be effective, I think it's a great pick.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see if he won 24, 25 games just because he started, you know, 38 games, even if he was going only 5 or 6 innings in most of those starts. That would probably have an effect on the voting body, I think. So that's a great point. Do you have any Rookie of the Year picks, hipster or not, Sean?
Rookie of the Year... I'm a Braves fan, so I got to get myself excited about Ronald Acuna. You know, even though he's going to spend the first 2 weeks down in the minors, that'd be awesome. And then I really like Francisco Mejia, the Indians catching prospect who they're trying to find a place on the field for. I think he's going to come in and, you know, be a 300 type hitter and, you know, on a famous team effectively, that usually adds up to Rookie of the Year votes.
Yeah, that's a really interesting pick. I didn't really consider him. But yeah, I mean, a 300 hitter from a catcher, if he plays most of the season, that'll get him a long way in the voting, I think. I picked Acuna as well. That was my Braves pick. That dude just looks out of this world. He's going to be unbelievable. My homer pick was Eloy Jimenez for the White Sox. I think, you know, he could come up in June and hit 30 homers. Like, the guy's ridiculous. He's huge. He's a great hitter. He's going to be a 300 hitter with 35 or 40 homers every year. So even if he comes up partway through the season, I think he could have that kind of impact. I guess the one guy we haven't talked about yet, and maybe you're going to, Wayland, is Ohtani. Are you picking Ohtani?
Well, I am now. I was going to pick Jimenez, but now that you homered, of course you picked Jimenez. I'll say Ohtani. Why not? I mean... He could be terrible, but he could be great.
I don't.
Well, he won't be. I don't think he'll be terrible.
Yeah, Sean, have you watched any of Ohtani this spring?
I watched all of, you know, 5 pitches and was disappointed, like everybody else, that they weren't 105 miles an hour. But it's spring training. Who knows how good a shape he thought he needed to be in when he showed up to spring training, and. I'm not too worried about him. I think he's going to actually start in the minors. Nothing official has been said like that, but I think the Angels would be wise to maybe temper some of the expectations on him and maybe get his confidence going a little bit more by starting him in the minors. But we were all so jazzed up about the Japanese Babe Ruth. If we rewinded 2 or 3 months, I think it's crazy that I'm not even entertaining him now.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough thing. You know, people say don't overreact to spring training, but he really has been kind of a disappointment by any measure. So it'd be interesting to see if he does start in AAA. Maybe we'll know by the time this podcast is out. But you're right that I think it might be a wise move. But either way, I think the talent is going to win out eventually. You know, he's going to have a good year no matter what. It's just, are the expectations so high that he's never going to meet them and the year is going to be seen as a disappointment? Kind of in the way Daisuke Matsuzaka's couple years were seen as disappointments, even though he made an all-star team and was like a pretty good pitcher. So I hope that doesn't happen. I hope he kind of eventually, you know, I hope he leads the Angels to the playoff, and I hope that we do see a unique and very cool season and career from him. Waylon?
Yeah. Go ahead, Sean.
No. I was just going to babble about Masahiro Tanaka. I'd rather, Waylon, if you have a good point, please go for it.
I do not. I was going to change this up.
We don't ever have good points on this show, Sean. That's one thing you'll have to learn in partnering with us.
All right. I'm glad I signed up for that. I hope the babbling about Masahiro Tanaka wouldn't be lost on your audience. So,
No. Babbling is what we do best.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, us too. Tanaka fits the same profile of Japanese star coming over,
maybe disappointed a little bit, but still is you know, a legit major leaguer. He struggled last year, and you know, who knows what the story is with his elbow, but the expectations placed on Japanese players coming over are often unfair.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of goes back to Ichiro, right? Of like, oh, every Japanese star should come in and win MVP their first season. And that's unreasonable for any player to expect them to win MVP, much less a rookie from a different culture, different country, different sort of league. Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for him, but I think he's going to have a good year ultimately. So with that, let's bring our predictions to a close. And I know, Sean, you have to get to a spring training game. Who are you seeing this, I guess, Pirates and somebody?
Pirates Phillies are playing today. The lineup is looking like a Pirates Phillies last day of spring training type of lineup. it'll flex my baseball nerd. It was a little bit of what we saw yesterday, too, with the Yankees' best player was Aaron Hicks that made the trip down to Port Charlotte to play the Rays. I didn't see a single major league pitcher from the Yankees. I think we had a similar situation going on with the Phillies today. But, you know, baseball nerd loves baseball, so we'll be okay.
Yeah, right. The important thing is baseball. Baseball's back. So enjoy. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us. We're very excited about this partnership. We're very excited to talk to you again throughout the season. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, absolutely. Hey, so I got one more thing. Max and I, since we started the blog, 7 years ago, for the last 5 years, we have made third place in the American League Cy Young predictions. So everybody predicts first place. That's not fun. We've made third place predictions, and only once in the 5 years we've been doing this has either of us gotten it right. Mine was David Price 3 years ago, and Max had to write a 500 word post about how great my prediction was. So I'd like to hold you guys, bring you in on the bet as well. I haven't actually made my prediction yet, but, do you have a third place AL Cy Young prediction? And then I'll pick a guy.
Yeah, sure. I've got one.
You got one?
I got one. I'm going to go with Justin Verlander.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
The old trusty vet, you know, he's going to be slinging. The Astros are going to be good, but he's not going to quite be, you know, a Kluber Sale type pitcher. So Justin Verlander.
I'm going to go with, how else are the Royals going to make the playoffs without Danny Duffy finishing in the top three? So I'm going to go with Danny Duffy.
Doesn't he have like an elbow injury or something?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, Danny Duffy and Justin Verlander. Did you have one, Sean?
I guess I'm going Chris Sale. Part of me wants to go crazy like Danny Duffy and pick David Price, but I'm going to go Chris Sale.
Price crossed my mind, actually.
Me too, yeah.
So I think solid bet for a bounce back, but Sale probably. Yeah, I think you can count on him being in the Cy Young top three, so good pick.
I've really dug myself too deep into a hole by predicting the Red Sox wouldn't be good because I was like, I can't pick any Red Sox for any of these now, and I'm an idiot.
So is that going to be an article that's up on the site at some point, the third place predictions?
Yeah, we should probably make those public and make them easily referenceable so that I can keep Max accountable and you guys accountable when Sale finishes in third in November.
Yeah, I love that. We'll eat some crow if that happens. Don't worry. All right. Well, thanks, Sean. Make sure to follow Sean on Twitter, Off the Bench on Twitter, and offthebenchbaseball.com. And like I said, we'll have him back on as well as Max and Ari, the other guys of the site. So thanks, Sean, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
That's it for another episode of Duck Snort.
Duck Snort.
Our last one before the season starts. Next time we talk to you, we'll be talking about the first weekend of The Real Deal.
Woo!
Thank you so much to our guest, Sean Morash, one of the co-founders of OffTheBenchBaseball.com and our new partner. You can find us on that website. And if you found us from that website, thank you for listening. You can also follow them at OTB_baseball on Twitter. Greg.
Yes.
You have stuff to say?
I do.
I said everything.
Thanks for setting me up, Waylon. Yeah. Thanks for setting me up so well. You can also follow us on Twitter at DuckSnorePod. You can get more info at DuckSnorePodcast.com. You can email us, DuckSnorePod@gmail.com. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from so that you get every episode piping fresh in your phone or whatever. Thanks to Boardwalk Audio for hosting us. Thanks for... to Moonbounce for our transition music. Thanks to our producer, Joe Weber, who is editing this, even though he is not with us today. That's it. Baseball's coming. So we're very excited, and we will see you next week for another episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.